until yesterday, actually. I was looking over my studying for my message on Sunday, and God just stirred in my heart to share something with you this evening from the book of 1 John about one of my personal greatest struggles that I have. And I ask you to pray for me. I'm sure you're more spiritual than I am in this area, and those who know me that know that I'm the type of person that, to relax, I like to work. My days start, well, this time of year, they don't always start before the sun comes up, and they end long after the sun goes down, generally. I'll be passing out somewhere, and the grandkids were laughing at me the other day because they thought I died in the living room floor. That's just to straighten out my back to lay on the floor for a while. But yesterday we had 4 or 5 yards of mulch to move in the playground that I had delivered here, but they can't get it to the playground, so we got to load it in buckets and move it over here. So I thought, well, we got a couple hours before the food pantry truck gets here, so I'll just go gather whoever I can, and which was me and Andrew. Andrew did he's a good worker for a white boy. He does pretty good. And we had a fella come over and help, which he was a help, but you know, it's I shouldn't say anything, I guess, but appreciate the food pantry helpers that came to help move all those boxes, and they brought all this stinky stuff into the building. Thank you so much for that. That beautiful aroma came from the food pantry helpers the other day and yesterday. And then and all the things that are being done around the building and the cleaning and the work days, and then a lot of folks. And again, this is just something that is where I'm coming from. I have a little patience with those that refuse to work, I guess. One fellow that stopped by to help the other day was, you know, when shoveling things for an hour or two, and he comes in 5 minutes, oh, my back hurts. Go sit down, have some ice cream or something, I don't know. I just have a little patience with that. Pray for me in that area, because that's just who I am. And then I think sometimes, and this is where I really struggle, just about every Monday morning, it takes me some time to correct this and talk to you about tonight, that it takes hours to prepare and pray and prepare and study and for a message, and then folks that just don't show up on Sunday. It becomes a very discouraging thing, or folks that sleep through the service, or folks that daydream or preoccupied or just generally checked out. I give you an outline to try to follow along, because I think it's important to take notes if you want to remember in 5 minutes after the service gets out what was preached on. And if you want God to work in your heart, you can review those notes. And many folks maybe will hear the jokes or the mistakes, but they won't hear the application. When you go door knocking, we run into the same thing with you try to share the gospel, and sometimes we share the gospel with folks and get all the way through the message of salvation, and they have one question. When's the food pantry open? You know, things like that. Kind of a regular thing. But it kind of gets discouraging after a while. And I've been encouraging you to join me in a spiritual prayer journey, and encouraging you to hunger and thirst for the Scriptures. And entering the house of the Lord scripturally, by taking a few moments to read through the Psalms of Degrees when you come into the house of the Lord, especially on Sunday morning, if not every service. And a great frustration to me personally, the things that I see, I wonder if folks are even listening. I wonder if folks are even getting anything. And to be quite honest with you, and again, I'm telling you, it's my greatest struggle. I often need an attitude adjustment. And time on my face before God helps me with that. And, of course, Brother Todd probably never faces any frustrations in a camp ministry. I know I couldn't run a camp ministry because there wouldn't be enough space to bury the bodies in dealing with young people. Well, you got a big property up there. When you run out of space, we got some here you can use. So, there's that constant frustration. You see it in Jesus also in his earthly ministry. But God led me to something, again, as I was just praying about the message Sunday, we're in John chapter number 4. And let me just read a couple of verses here in John 4. And this is the first couple of verses. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. I'm just going to read those two verses. And you may have noticed the word spirit is used, what, in those two verses, four times, I believe, or three times. The word spirit, and you'll see throughout this chapter the word spirit is used. And I want to talk to you about trying the spirits. You ever have trouble with your spirit? You ever have trouble discerning, is that the spirit of God or is that the spirit of the Antichrist? I've been encouraging you, and I don't know if anybody's participating in this, and again, I just attribute this to my lack of communication skills. When we started in the book of 1 John a couple of months ago, actually on Sunday morning, I encourage you as you read the Bible to look at it through the lens of the book of 1 John. You'll be surprised what God teaches you if you do that, but again, I don't know. I trust that maybe one or two people have done that. I've certainly enjoyed it. But you notice in this chapter there are nine times the word spirit is used. It's used over 500 times in the Bible. Half of those times are in the New Testament. The other half are in the Old Testament. And talk about trying the spirit. Now, I want you to see something tonight that I think will clarify something about the spirit. This comes from Strong's Concordance. You ought to have a copy of that in your home. If you don't have a paper copy, you can easily get a copy on your computer, your smartphone, or your dumb phone, whatever you have. I encourage you to get used to using that. Along with Strong's Concordance, he's got a dictionary of New Testament and Old Testament words. And the word spirit, and this is just a definition that he gives, and I thought this summarized it quite well. I know I've preached on this before, if you may remember me doing this. It's been a little while. Back when I originally preached on this, I took the time to read all 500 verses that the word spirit is used through the Bible and divided them into three sections. And the three sections are mentioned here in Strong's definition of the word spirit. It comes from the Greek word pneuma. Now, of course, the Old Testament, we're different than that. We're focusing primarily on the New Testament, where the word pneuma or pneumas, the literal meaning of that word is a current of air, a breath, or wind, or blast, or breeze. By analogy or figuratively, it is a spirit. Now, notice I underline three different types of spirit, and you're going to see all three of them in our text. The first one, this is in the order that we're going to cover them in, the human spirit, or the rational, what we would call the soul. The soul, the mind, the heart, the intellect, the emotions, everything that's included in the soul is our spirit. It's a vital principle. It's the mental disposition, or our attitude, I often refer to it as. And then there's the idea of the superhuman spirit, or the angel or demon. I just call these in the definitions that I give there, the angelic spirit, whether a good angel or a fallen angel, the spirit world that surrounds us. A lot of folks look at this text and think, well, that's all that we're talking about, the spirit of God or the spirit of Antichrist. We're talking about all three of them. And the first one is the last one that he mentions in Strong's Concordance, and that is the divine spirit, or God's, Christ's spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the life, the spiritual. Now, the way you can tell the difference in how they're used, and I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations here before we even get into 1 John, is by the best way we can tell in our English Bible is by the context of how they're used. A dead giveaway also in your Bible, now not all Bibles do this, and some debate whether it should be done or not. When we're talking about God's Spirit, you'll usually see a capital S on the word Spirit. Now, the way you can tell if you were to study the Greek language is the gender of the word or how it is used. You can see that a little easier in the Greek language and things that we don't have in our English language. You can see it a little bit better. And I'll give you a couple of examples here. Here's some general scriptures concerning the Spirit. The first ones that I think of outside of the book of 1 John, chapter number 4, and Romans chapter number 8. And I put down a reference there. I didn't put the whole verses there in the reference, but let me just read what I have here. And what I want you to do is think of those three spirits. What are the three types of spirits? First of all, there's God's Spirit, the person of God, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, and then the angelic spirit, the fallen spirit, or the good angels, or the demonic angels, and then my spirit, my attitude, my mindset, or my soul is how I have defined them. Now, I have a little space between next to each of the uses of the word spirit in our text that I have given here, and I want you to look at them with me, and I already think I'm not going to get all the way through this tonight. I'm just going to get a little ways, and then we'll come back to it next week, I think, and finish it. And then Romans chapter number 8, verse number 12, and verse number 17, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So I pick up at verse number 13, I think, on your paper. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Now you see the word Spirit. Which one of those definitions, if I have them numbered 1, 2, 3, number 1 is God's Spirit. Number 2 is an angelic spirit, a good or fallen angel. Or number 3 is my attitude or my spirit. Which one applies there? And again, a dead giveaway, in my Bible, it's got a capital S. I don't know if your Bible, if you look it up in your Bible, it might not have a capital S. That is definitely, and if you study the context, you see we're talking here about the Spirit. And by the way, the Spirit is God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So it's easy to see there. If you, through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by, again, the Spirit. Who's that refer to? Number 1, 2, or 3? Door number 1, right? The Holy Spirit. And again, it's capitalized. And you see, the Spirit of God. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? The Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear. Now, what spirit do you suppose that one is? How many? Let's do this. How many of you say 2? It takes some study to figure out the difference. How many of you say 3? Really, unless you dig in a little deeper, it's hard to see whether it's 2 or 3. So I put 2 or 3. We could be talking here about a demonic spirit or an angelic spirit or my spirit or attitude, which is the third use. You've not received the spirit not received the spirit of bondage. To me, I would say that as far as in my study, I would say that's talking about a demonic spirit that's holding us captive. But sometimes our own spirit, we're held captive by our own spirit, by the influence of demons in our own spirit, our own attitude. But ye have received the Spirit of adoption. Now again, I said that capitalization was put there by the translators. It's a little bit more difficult to see, and some people debate whether that should have been capitalized or not. What would you say that one is? 1, 2, or 3? One, well, it's got a capital S, so that immediately makes us think it's one. We've received the spirit of adoption, but in context, it really could fall under the category of one or three. The spirit of adoption, and actually that word adoption changes it a little bit. And again, I'm not going into the semantics of everything here, but the spirit of adoption is the attitude of adoption, is how some people define that little phrase there, the spirit of. In other words, we realize that we don't deserve all the good things that we have. We appreciate them. We realize that we were born condemned, but we've been adopted into the family. That's a spirit of gratefulness. That's an attitude of gratefulness. And again, obviously the translators thought, in my Bible at least, they capitalized S, so they thought it fits in the category of God's spirit. But personally, in my study, I think it fits more in the category of the third section. Now, what I did years ago, I just did a study on my own and read through all the 500 verses in the Bible, the 500 references of the word spirit, both in the Old and the New Testament, though the Old Testament's not as clear because the language is different, the translation's different, but especially in the Old in the New Testament, I found that about one third of the time the word spirit's used is speaking of God's spirit. And about one third of the time it's speaking of an angelic spirit, either a fallen angel or a spirit from God, an angel from God. And about a third of the time, it's talking about my spirit, or as I usually define it, my attitude. And we got to have the attitude of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And then the Spirit itself beareth witness. Now, which one's that one? I'm confusing some of you, aren't I? But number one, the Spirit itself. And again, there's one Spirit, and that is God's Spirit. One ultimate, one divine Spirit. And that is, of course, God Himself, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself, God Himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, that one should be a little clearer. Which is that one referring to? With our spirit. That's the third one. With our attitude, our soul, our mindset, our attitude. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Now in Luke chapter number 9, again, this is introduction. I don't think I'm going to get all the way through this, so I'm trying to think in my little pea brain here where I'm going to cut it off. So I'm going to come back to this next week because I think this is worth getting. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 54. Through 56, I just have verse number 55 in your paper there where the word is used. When the disciples James and John saw some men performing miracles that weren't a part of us, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. What spirit are we talking about there? What? You know not what spirit you're of. You know not what? I guess it could be two or three, but I see three. You don't know what your heart is. You don't know how deceitful your heart is. And I see in this, and in my study it out, and again, it could be, you could see number two there, a demonic spirit. Or you don't know, and this is really the meat of 1 John chapter number 4, your heart is controlled what you think is the Holy Spirit. Your attitude is not as godly as you think it is. It's not where it ought to be. You don't know what your spirit is. You don't know how bad your attitude is. And I've learned this, that when we got a bad attitude, it takes some time on our face before God to see what our attitude is. And that's not as easy to do. Let's look at 1 John chapter number 4, and I think we'll get through the text here and then come back to the outline next week. And Maybe you can go through and fill in the blanks and see if you come up with the same things that I do in the blanks here, okay? In 1 John chapter number 4, let's look at a few verses here where the word Spirit is used. In fact, I think every time the word Spirit is used in this chapter is written out here, but I'm going to look at, eventually when we do the outline, we're going to look at the entire chapter. Again, I don't think we're going to get all the way through it tonight. 1 John chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, which one are we referring to there? Two, believe not every spirit, or in reality, in private, probably two is the main idea. You don't believe, of course, if we are an angel from heaven, or an angel that you think is from heaven appear unto you and preach any other gospel, let it be accursed. You need to be careful of listening to the spirits, the angelic beings, because it's not so easy to figure out which one they're from. Are they a good angel or a fallen angel? I've used this illustration before in dealing with my younger sister shortly after I was saved, and I was able to lead her to the Lord by God's grace. That was a miracle, as nervous and quiet as I was. God just gave me that to let me know that I can do something that is totally impossible for me to do. And after she prayed for salvation, she said that not too long ago, she was in her room in bed in the middle of the night or sometime, then all of a sudden, someone appeared to her standing at the foot of her bed. The door never opened. The window was locked. Somebody was there. It was a person. And she said that I didn't know who it was. I thought it was God. I thought it was an angel. He said, I'm concerned about where I'm going to spend eternity. She actually just lost a classmate to a car accident, and she was concerned about her soul. The only reason I led her to the Lord, not because I'm a spiritual giant, she came asking me. And I stumbled through it and tried to read her the track and slid it to her and said, "You read it. I can't read. I'm so nervous." She said, "I asked that angel," as she described it, "Am I going to go to heaven when I die?" And the angel said, "Yeah, you're okay. You're all right. You've been baptized. You're a good person. You're a better person than this person that just died. You're okay. You don't have to worry about a thing." She said, "I thought I was okay because I just got a word from the angel." And by the way, that's an angel. That's a spirit being. And all of a sudden it just walked through the wall and left. That's a little too spooky for some people, isn't it? They said, that's an angel of light. Someone appearing as an angel of light, but it's a prince of darkness. That's a demonic angel giving you a false hope of salvation. And a lot of us that grew up in religion know what it is to have a false hope of salvation, doing everything our church says, everything that the religious world says. And it gives us some assurance, but that assurance isn't from God. So how do we try the spirits? How do we know the spirit? Believe not every spirit, but he says, try the spirits. Which one is that? Test them, try them. Well, obviously it's two, but in reality, we're going to get to this throughout the rest of this chapter, it could be number three. Try my spirit. Well, I think my spirit's right. How many times you say, my spirit's right? But is it? How do you know that your spirit is right? James and John certainly thought they had a right spirit. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Bless God, call down fire from heaven. Bless God, shoot them all. Let God sort them out. I've heard preachers say that. You know not what spirit you're of. And I've heard so many people say, well, I know I'm doing right. I just feel in my heart. I just believe down wherever in my gut. How do you know that's the Spirit of God? How do you know that's a right spirit, that your spirit's right with God? How do you test that? How do you try those spirits? Well, I just bless God, I know I did everything right. Oh, did you? You must be God if you did everything right. But I sure didn't do everything right. Never had done everything right. We hear so many times that, well, how do we try the Spirit? And I say that to help us to think that, well, yeah, obviously it looks like we're talking about tests that Spirit, if a Spirit appears. I don't know if he's an angel of light or an angel of darkness, and the devil himself will appear as an angel of light. How do I know that? Or when we're talking about my spirit, how do I know that my spirit is right? That my heart is right with God? Try it whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Say this, many false teachers, many false preachers. And I have no doubt that most of them are more sincere than you and I are. But they're preaching a false gospel. Does their sincerity make them right? Does my sincerity make me right? Well, I just feel like I've done everything right and I've got God's Spirit. Oh, are we sure? Try the spirits. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And which Spirit are we talking about there? The Spirit of God, again. We know that this Spirit is of God. An angel sent from God, or my attitude is what it ought to be with God. But this Spirit is of God. This is God's Spirit. We're in line with God's Spirit. And then every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Just for the sake of time today, that could be three or two. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Again, you can see that some of these take a little bit more depth of study, and you kind of have to go back to some of the original language, which some of us don't know the original language, so we got to trust in commentaries and other helps to figure out which one it is, but on the surface it's pretty difficult to see. And that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. Now, which spirit is that? That again is probably, I think probably my attitude of my spirit. Is my spirit right with God? Or is this an angel from God or an angel from hell? It's either a fallen spirit or it's my bad spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Well, wait a minute, I'm saved. Is that all it means to confess Jesus with Christ? I confessed that Jesus was Christ many times before I was ever saved. What does it mean to confess? We'll get into that in a bit. So that will probably be next week. So, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Now again, that, for the sake of time, that could be two or three. That spirit of Antichrist, that demon that's a part of the devil's dark empire. Or it could be my attitude that's not right with God. And when a demon comes to us, he comes as an angel of light. When my attitude is not right, it appears so right. It seems justified. It seems right. But is my spirit right with God? Is my heart or my spirit right with God? That's not an easy thing to discern. But John here is telling, and this is the thought that I'm coming back to, and I know I hope I'm not getting you sidetracked here. How do I try the spirits? And I'll jump down to verse number 6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. Again, notice it's a small s. And the translators had something there in our English Bible. The spirit of truth, that is an angelic spirit, an angel from heaven. Or, I've got a right attitude, a right spirit. And the spirit of error, that could be two or three also. That's a demonic spirit, or that's evidence that my spirit is not right with God. Now again, if my spirit, and we clarify it, well, look at verse number 13 first. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. Now, which one is that reference to? One, God's Spirit. We know that we are of the truth. We know that this Spirit, or that we're talking about an angelic being or a fallen, a demon or a heavenly angel, we can tell because do they line with the Word of God? And as a baby Christian leading my sister to the Lord, and I immediately thought when she said that angel appeared to her, I said, well, that angel tells you a message contrary to the Word of God, that's a fallen angel. There's a dead giveaway right there. If an angel comes to a lost person and says, hey, you're okay, then they're not okay. That's an angel from hell. Or that angel comes and says, I've got a bitter, hateful attitude, but I just feel right. That ain't God's Spirit. You better learn to try the spirits. Well, how do I try the spirits? And that's what the theme of this whole chapter is. Now, I'm just preaching on the first six verses Sunday mornings, but I was looking at the whole chapter today and tying this together of how do we try our spirits? How do we try the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil, the Spirit of Antichrist? And of course, we know the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. He can do no sin. He never goes contrary to the Word of God. An angelic being that sometimes appears as an angel of light, and we have a really difficult time discerning, is that a heavenly spirit or is that a demonic spirit? How do we know the difference? Or even harder yet, when we look at our spirit, Psalm 139 is a great psalm to meditate on in your prayer time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. There's nowhere I can go where God doesn't know me. If I go to the highest mountain, He's there. If I go to the deepest sea, He's there. If I even go to hell, He's there. If I go to heaven, He's there. Everywhere I go, He's there. He knows everything about me. He knows things about me before I was formed in my mother's womb. He knew every detail about me long before I was ever born. He knew what color my hair was going to be. He knew how every detail about my flesh, every ailment I'll ever have, every circumstance. He already knew that. He knows everything about me. And then the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. In other words, show me what's in my heart, because I don't have a clue what's in my heart. Show me what's in my heart. I can never know what's in my heart. Well, God gives us some ways in this chapter of how to search the Spirit, how to try the Spirit. Is my heart right with God? How do I recognize God's Spirit? You know what? Let me just give you quickly these bullet points here. I lost my picture of a bullet, so I've got arrowhead points, okay? God desires us to know His Spirit in verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Our fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. Here's something to think about in verse number 6. Let me read the verse here first. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. Our fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. We as God's people ought to learn, and some folks never really get this, we ought to learn to communicate on a spiritual plane. You ever meet a stranger and you can just tell in the first hello? Or just tell by the countenance on their face that they're a child of God. We communicate by something that's not emotional, it's not physical, it's something spiritual. And the closer you are to God, and the closer that person is to God, the more obvious it becomes. Let me give you a question. Well, it's something to think about. It's something to hash over in the next week. When we get to heaven, are we going to know each other? Are we going to know each other when we get to heaven? What's that? We're going to recognize Jesus. He's the only one that's going to have scars in his hands and his feet because I put him there, and they're still there in his side. How are we going to know each other? We're all going to have a perfect body. That means we're all going to be 5'10", have dishwater blonde hair, and 100 pounds, and 63 years old. I don't want that body. No. I want one better than that. Thanks, Linda. We're all going to have a perfect body. How are we going to know each other? You ever seen the penguins on the beach? You know, thousands of penguins and the little penguin chick. Is that what they call penguins? The little baby penguin gets lost and it can find its mom. They all look the same. They all sound the same. But somehow there's a connection. I liken that to our spiritual connection. You know how we're going to know each other in heaven? I believe this to be true, though I just can't find the Bible. I think it's in 1 Pastor Fritz 3:16. But actually, you can see the principle of we're going to know each other on a spiritual level. How well do we know people spiritually today? It'll be a lot easier to recognize people in heaven when we know them so well spiritually down here in this earth. Now, there's something to think about. How are we going to know each other in heaven? But we have a spiritual connection to the Spirit. Our fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. And then in verse number 12, God desires others to see His Spirit in us. In verse number 12, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." His love is clearly seen in us if we are walking in the Spirit. That is maybe the most challenging verse in this whole chapter. Is my fellowship making God visible? Is my walk with God, is my spirit, my attitude, making God visible to others? And then the one other thing, and then we will close, and we'll get to the main points next week, Lord willing. We know we are in fellowship with Him because we have a different spirit. One of the ways we know that we're in true fellowship with Him is because we don't have the same attitude we used to. Hey, that person I used to hate, I love him now. You know what happens when we start knocking on doors and folks start getting saved? Folks say, "Well, I don't like that person." I've seen churches split over folks getting saved in church. "Well, I hate that person." Well, he had a wrong spirit to begin with. I'm already beginning to see it here. We know we are in fellowship with Him because we have a difference. We've got a different attitude. We can forgive people where we used to not be able to forgive people. We love people where we used to not care about anybody but ourselves. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ's Spirit, walking in the Spirit, he is a new creature, and old things are, the closer we get to God, the more different our life becomes compared to our old man. And not that we ought to be focused on our old man and satisfied with the difference. We ought to be satisfied only in His likeness and walking with Him. But my spirit, my attitude ought to be changing towards those that are lost, towards those that are in need, towards those that are hurting, if my spirit is in tune with Him. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him. And the book of 1 John is all about dwelling in Christ. We know we're dwelling in Him because we have a different spirit. We operate on a different wavelength than we've lived our whole life. We don't get angry. We don't get upset. Not that we are perfect, but those things are starting to fade in the background. It's not all about me anymore. It's not all about what I want to do with my life. It's not all about earning a living and being a success or whatever, but it's about pleasing Jesus Christ with my life. And the greatest desire I have is to know Him better, to dig into His Word and to walk with Him. We know that we're in fellowship with Him because our spirit is different, and we need to try the spirits, and that's what we're focused on here, and trying the spirit. How do we recognize God's spirit? And I encourage you to look through this chapter and think of these things. See if you see what I see in this chapter and learn to apply it to our life and say, "God, I want to see what my spirit is." Let me tell you, when you learn to pray, God, show me my spirit, it's painful. It's going to hurt. And you're going to have to put aside your self-righteousness, which all of us have got that problem. That's our inherited Adamic nature. Father, we pray that you...